Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want it all. Hey, yeah. I want it all.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I know normally we have Julio Diaz on right now, but he is traveling this morning, so we're not able to connect with him. But don't worry, he'll be back with us next week. We have the Transgressors Memorial Service coming up, in which you find out why Maxwell Apartment Coffee is such a great thing, according to Brother Andrew. Meanwhile, and also why Pete Hegseth is not such a great thing, according to Brother Andrew. Let's see, Fort Pickens and Johnson Beach are closed because Gulf Islands National Seashore has closed up shop due to the government shutdown. You know, there was a day of uncertainty where you could go on the honor system, and now you got to go by boat, you know, because, I mean, you can still go by boat. you know, the beaches are there. You also have, I mean, probably can't wander around the facility, but the beaches are there. Let's see. What else? Blue Angels are not flying. They came home yesterday, and they're done until the government reopens. Not flying demonstrations, not flying practices, not doing anything. Of course, you couldn't go watch the practices on the base anyway because the base is also closed to the public. Although you could always watch the practices from elsewhere, like from the water or from, you know, Fort Pickens. Well, I guess previously from Fort Pickens. Anyway, so you know these things cascade together a little bit. What else do we have going on? Just when you thought it was safe to go back to Portland, which you don't. I know as you're watching it on TV, some of the stuff that's been going on there. But this cracked me up. So Portland, notoriously left and notoriously right, politically. Well, left, of course. It's the left coast. I used to live in Medford, which is the southern end. But Portland is the, wow, it's a place. Anyway, so in Portland, some people are very concerned about, just as a side note, you know, like down the road in Ashland, Oregon, which is a liberal mecca just over the border from California. I mean, they have like Saturday morning naked yoga in the park, like just in the park, you know, like just so you when you hear stories about what happens out on the West Coast. You know, like dream catchers and aura crystals and like all of that is all over the place. Like it's not just anyway. So. Back to Portland. So some folks in Portland are upset about what's happening with the National Guard being federalized to go there to, you know, clamp down on crime or control things. So they are staging a protest. And the protest is that they're having a naked bike ride.
No, please don't tell me this. Yes. Please don't tell me this.
John Hutchinson just walked in for the wrap and he's here early and he's... Yes, the World Naked Bike Ride says on Instagram, they are the organizers of the annual international Bike for Justice. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God.
Bear
goodness.
It all for a better world. The World World Naked Bike Ride said on Instagram Wednesday, they're planning to protest the Trump administration's decision to bring the National Guard troops to Portland. Quote, emergency World Naked Bike Ride coming up in response to the militarization of our city. Plans are being worked on now for the taking off of pants. I don't know what. So, John, as a journalist, what's my job?
Your job is to research it. We learned that yesterday.
I looked it up. I wasn't even in incognito mode. I failed again. And
you were? You weren't.
Well, let's just say that local news agencies in Portland who report on the annual World Naked Bike Ride do so with some discretion.
Not even in private mode?
It's...
Oh, I'd love to see your Facebook ads now.
Oh, there's nothing there you want to see. Because, you know, everybody thinks, like anybody who, guys, I guess, think, you know, oh, yeah, you know, naked beaches. Have you been to one, though? I actually have. In the south of France, you have some of these naked beaches. But, you know, like nudist colonies, all that kind of stuff. Let me just tell you, whatever's going on in your brain... It is not what goes on in reality. It is definitely not what you paid to watch on TV, okay? It's just not like any of that. So this is really it'll make you unhappy. Anyway, so they're going to protest Trump by getting naked and riding bikes around.
No.
Fantastic stuff right there. Speaking of bicycles, if you're thinking about your next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. You know, seriously, lots and lots of cars. You can go. I recommend you go before you need them. You know, when you need a car is really not when you want to shop for a car, because you're in a crisis mode and you're stressed and your car's in the shop or it got towed or whatever is going on. That's not the time you want to be thinking about which car to buy and buying one. Ideally, you'd think about which one ahead of time so you know which one, and then, you know, casually looking for the right price or the right blend of trim level and color or whatever you want so that you can get one before you need to. But at least if you know what you're trying to buy, if push comes to shove, at least you've got that figured out. Well, anyway, you go to Frontier to figure this out. Look at a bunch of cars, test drive a bunch of cars, and at least make a decision about what you're trying to aim for, and then, you know, you can get one when you get one. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. And not that the World Emergency Naked Bike Ride says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on I-10 westbound, just right past the Davis Highway exit, we've got an accident that's backing up traffic. So just be aware of that. Also, let's see here. If you are on Highway 90 headed into Pensacola, I'd love when computers work. You're going to see about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Take advantage of the free document shredding event Saturday morning from 8 till 11 at the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds. Get more at newsradio923.com. The License to Thrill charity date auction is Saturday evening at the Hilton Pensacola Beach. Proceeds benefit Valerie's House and A Hope of Milton. More info at crewofpensacolabells.com. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Pete Hegseth, the United States Secretary of Peace, for his ridiculous and abusive efforts to use the military to bully, intimidate, and discriminate against people who just want to serve in the military on their terms instead of his. Before I elaborate, a word about words. As you all know, President Absolutely No Way Will We Say His Name recently returned the Department of Defense to its original pre-World War II name, the Department of War. That means Hegseth is officially the Secretary of War, and of course we fully believe in the right of a government agency to identify as anything it wants to identify as. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of dead naming the Pentagon as the Department of Defense anymore, or by using the wrong military industrial pronouns for the department. However, having long been trained on all the wise and sacred writings of St. George Orwell, we believe that the proper name of this entity, as instructed by the novel 1984, a book which poignantly and perfectly envisions a true future governed by the holy principles of doublethink, doublespeak, and the practice of making unacceptable terminology double plus ungood, should in fact be the Department of Peace. Since the aim of the Department of Peace, or DOP, is to prevent war, not start it, why shouldn't it be named for the thing it's trying to achieve rather than for the thing it's trying to avoid? We did briefly consider perhaps calling it the Department of Deterrence or the Department of Equality or the Department of Helping People and Fixing Things, but none of these quite encapsulated the contradictions and aspirations so essential to this organization. And in an effort to encourage that man who currently lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to adopt an even wokier rebrand, we will simply refer to Hegseth as the Secretary of Peace. That being said, the reasons for his cancellation are abundantly clear. In the last few days, Secpeth Hegseth has reversed decades of work making the DOP an agency of inclusion, equity, and diversity, truly the vanguard of every form of social engineering we believe in. First, he says that the only thing that matters is standards, by which he means merit, that most blasphemous of words.
We must restore a ruthless, dispassionate, and common-sense application of standards.
This is pure heresy. Enough alone to justify cancellation. Second, he said that people's feelings are no longer to be considered.
The era of politically correct, overly sensitive, don't hurt anyone's feelings leadership ends right now.
But how can any government entity deny the only thing that matters in this world, the hurts, the wounds, and the offenses taken by the feelings of the snowflakiest of snowflakes? Third, he actively said that all genders would be held to a single inflexible standard.
Service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only.
Obviously, this is completely unacceptable. Under no circumstances should women be forced to compete against men in a physical contest or test. Unless, of course, the men they're competing against are transgender women, in which case it's fine. Also, even though women can do anything men can do, or better, it's obviously unfair to actually put this claim to the test with objective physical measurements that are only designed to reinforce the bigoted belief that men are somehow physically stronger, faster, and more agile than women. Women are physically superior to men, and we prove this best by refusing to prove it. Fourth, and perhaps most hurtful of all, he says that every single member of the military will be held to high physical standards of weight and height, and in such an unnecessarily mean way.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon.
Such body negativity and fat shaming must not stand. It's also overwhelmingly ableist for him to require everyone to engage in hard physical training every day. Such an unashamed display of discrimination and non-inclusiveness. And he even had the audacity to require traditional grooming standards for all military members.
No more beardos. The era of rampant and ridiculous shaving profiles is done.
But how can the free-thinking individuals who want to express their personal follicle styles possibly find self-expressive fulfillment on the battlefield if they can't wear the handlebar of merit, or the sideburns of valor, or the Fu Manchu of distinction, or the goatee of liberty, or the simple yet effective neckbeard of honor? It's as if lethality and lethality alone has become the only thing the chief of the military cares about. He even singled out the practice of promoting people based on them being the first of their gender or their race or their sexual orientation to positions of leadership, as if the purpose of leadership were competence and winning rather than symbolism and making people feel seen. You see, for decades, we have been eroding the essence of the military, using it primarily as a tool of social engineering to advance and disseminate our values, and now suddenly, Mr. Hegseth has ruined everything. Telling the American people the preposterous notion that the purpose of the Peace Department is to discourage wars through strength and to win them through overwhelming competence in the art of violence. If someone wants to serve in the military, Mr. Secpeth, who are you to say they are ineligible or unentitled? It's not your place to practice such hurtful discrimination by putting these triggering restrictions on who you want pulling triggers for this nation. Don't you know it's the unalienable right of every bearded, transgender, plus-size, alternatively qualified person to serve without distinction in their military? And for taking away this basic civil right, we excommunicate thee, Pete Hegseth. Secretary of Peace? Maybe Secretary of Meanness is more like it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, We want to take some time to sincerely praise the work of the Kraft Heinz Company for its decision to temporarily rebrand Maxwell House Coffee as Maxwell Apartments Coffee. Noting in its press release that one-third of Americans rent rather than owning a home, Kraft Heinz said it's trying to give Americans an option to save money in difficult economic times by offering them a chance to purchase a year's worth of coffee for just $40, what they're calling a 12-month coffee lease, designed to save purchasers more than $1,000 this year compared to buying coffee at retail establishments every day. Such savings may not be enough alone to buy a home, but it sure is a nice start. But of course, we applaud the rebrand itself for the obvious effort to be inclusive and stop perpetuating the highly stigmatizing language of domicile discrimination. At first, it seems so strange to say Maxwell Apartment, but that's just because our so-called American dream has actively promoted the wasteful extravagance of the single-family detached lifestyle for so long that the prejudice is embedded right in the name of our coffee beans. Maxwell Apartment reminds us that multifamily housing is every bit as decent, honest, and desirable as owning a house. In fact, the insulting bigotry of the home ownership prejudice is reinforced at every level of our language, and Maxwell Apartment has finally decided to stop being the Archie Bunker of brewed beverages. So we celebrate the recognition of domicile diversity, and we cherish the roasting out of the segregation and grinding away at the home builder industrial bias. However, we do have some suggestions for how this can be done even better going forward. Although Maxwell Apartment is a good first step toward equity and inclusion, it still carries the pungent aroma of judgment and discrimination, since so many people live neither in houses nor in apartments, and what of their need to feel smelled? Why not rebrand as Maxwell Duplex? Are duplex owners not coffee drinkers too? What about Maxwell Condominium? Should only those who rent multifamily housing count? Perhaps they should rebrand as Maxwell Mobile Homes, or more poignantly, Maxwell Trailer Park, expanding inclusivity to both mobile homes and sedentary RVs. But why should traditional studs and drywall construction be so preferenced? Are the residents of Maxwell Tent City not coffee drinkers too? Is there some reason the inhabitants of Maxwell Shanty can't enjoy some hot coffee as an early morning pick-me-up? Should the collectivist feel left out, or should Maxwell Commune not also be an available variety, although probably not for sale, obviously? Although Maxwell Homeless or Maxwell Alternately Housed may be a little clunky to say, perhaps the best revision would be a complete reversal of the 133 years of linguistic bigotry of the current brand, simply going with Maxwell Unhoused, to include everyone not already included in one of the other labels. Should the car dweller, the shelter dweller, the street sleeper, or the forest denizen not also feel they are welcome to enjoy a cup of mediocre coffee like everyone else? Here's an idea. If they really wanted to do something special, the cans could come with a customizable label set so that each purchaser could express their personal residency status with the same sort of bland flavor Maxwell House Coffee has always been known for. And when all the varieties have been tried, perhaps the best end state would be something non-committal and unifying, such as Maxwell Dwelling, or Maxwell Habitat, or perhaps Maxwell Abode. So yes, we applaud this first step Maxwell Apartment, but we see many more renovations to come for you. And while we're on the subject, perhaps other coffee brands could take a note from Kraft Heinz. Surely Starbucks is a little dollar-centric. Perhaps Star Pesos in Mexico, or Star Euros in Germany, or Star Rupees in India, or just a more generic Star Money or Star Currency for more universal appeal. Perhaps also Nescafe, which suddenly seems very marginalizing to people who operate alternate restaurant styles. So Nes Food Truck, Nes Diner, Nes Banquet Hall, Nes Farmer's Market, and yes, Nes Soup Kitchen would really increase the diversity of this brand's appeal. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
And honestly, I had a third one ready to go on the Google Poop Dome, but it's
and now you're going to make me wait.
You'll just have to wait a week. It's worth the wait, too. It's a good one. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-10 westbound, just right past the Davis Highway exit there or entrance. We're seeing traffic backed up all the way, almost to the 9 Mile Road bridge. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And by the way, we got assistant producer credits. Need to go to David Wayne for suggesting the Maxwell Apartment story, which I had not known and which we all thought had to be fake news until It's really not. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The mayor of Portland says that President Trump's descriptions of the city are not true. Time publishing a letter from Portland Mayor Keith Wilson about federal troops being sent there. In the letter, Wilson says Trump's descriptions of Portland being a hellhole, war-ravaged, and under siege couldn't be further from the truth. The Supreme Court hearing controversial cases in the new term that begins Monday. On the docket will be cases involving the use of race in congressional redistricting, conversion therapy for minors, and state laws banning transgender athletes in girls' sports.
Thanks so much, David. John, you know how my brain is very much like squirrel
all
the time? I must have three times told myself that I had to add in that the Maxwell apartment concept is good to the last drop. And I forgot completely to it. I did. And it still didn't make the final edit. Yeah, forgot.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Day three of the government shutdown with another chance for the Senate to vote to reopen today. House Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries' count is different.
It's day 256 of the chaos that the Trump presidency has unleashed on the American people.
With Axios reporting, progressives are flooding Democrats' phones to hold the line. Music mogul Sean Diddy Combs in Brooklyn federal lockup for a year, faces his sentence for prostitution-related charges. It'll be time served to about 10 years. Apple has removed the ice tracking apps from the App Store, citing safety risks after Attorney General Pam Bondi warned that agents were being harmed by protesters using the app to track federal agents, including the sniper at the ICE facility in Dallas. Apple says it's removed Ice Block and other apps like it. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning. We've got 66 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. We will get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, Fort Pickens and other areas of the Gulf Islands National Seashore are now closed due to the government shutdown. Those gates locked yesterday. After initially being open when the shutdown first started, inquiries are being directed to the National Parks Washington, D.C. office. The National Parks Contingency Services Contingency Plan indicates that essential services would continue, but 9,300 employees are being furloughed during the shutdown. Parks are not expected to reopen until the government is funded again. The city of Pensacola now firing back at claims by the state of wasteful spending. Yesterday, Florida's CFO, Blazing Golia, accusing the city of overtaxing residents of over $1 million to fund projects such as the new $600,000 Welcome to Pensacola sign.
On the other end of our state, the city of Pensacola, they paid almost $600,000 for a large neon Welcome to Pensacola sign. Maybe it should say, welcome to wasteful spending.
But the city says that sign actually was funded by FDOT. They paid $480,000 of the cost. The remaining money was spent from a federal grant. The state also criticizing spending on the Sanger Theater, but the city says that's been very profitable for the city in recent years. An 18-year-old was arrested for allegedly shooting a 17-year-old in Milton. Police say Francois Sims Jr. is facing charges of culpable negligence inflicting harm. That teen was treated at the Santa Rosa Medical Center and Sacred Heart Hospital before being released. SRMC was briefly placed on lockdown during the incident. Police have not said the exact date the shooting happened. Officials say Sims is currently on probation for unrelated offenses. His bond was set at $2,500. He remains in the Santa Rosa County Jail. Well, with a low-pressure system set to move across the state this weekend, federal forecasters aren't going anywhere despite the shutdown.
We're still here 24/7.
National Weather Service meteorologist George Rizzuto, he says it'll stay that way, too, especially as that weak low-pressure system just off the southeast coast moves northward, which will cause a bit of a wet weekend. Well, Wawa is now opening its third store in the Pensacola area. They're having a ribbon cutting, actually started here just a few minutes ago at their store on Davis Highway. It'll feature local fire and police representatives competing in the Hoagies for Heroes sandwich building contest. They've also got free coffee for the next couple of days to celebrate their grand opening. Well, Florida's illegal immigrant numbers have reportedly surged with over 1,200 new arrivals per 100,000 residents. Those numbers compiled from May of 2023 through January of this year. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Miami is the most affected metro area nationwide, followed by Orlando, Tampa, and Fort Myers. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident we're dealing with on I-10 westbound, just right past the Davis Highway exit. It's down to one lane right now, so just be aware of that. Other than that, everything else is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Temperatures are going to warm up today near 82 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with the winds coming out of the east-northeast at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping the windy weather around on Saturday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 82. Winds still out of the east-northeast at about 20 miles an hour. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 70 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. Your money now. Markets this morning are up just a bit at the opening bell. The Dow's up 142 and three quarter points, 46,662.53. S&P is up 15 and three quarter points, 67,31.82. NASDAQ up 48 and a half points at 22,892.104. Looking at that 10-year bond rate, up at 4.096% today. Gold up 40.30 at 39.08.40. Silver up by $1.32 at 47.69 today. Crypto is down across the board with Bitcoin down about 5.43 at 120,332. Ethereum's down 21.50 at 44.82. Solana's down just under $3. Dogecoin down about 0.3 cents. XRP down just over a nickel today. Well, the jobs report not being released this morning. The Bureau of Labor Statistics was set to publish that report, but with the government shutdown underway, that's being delayed. That leaves the payroll processing company's ADP's employment report as the only jobs data being released this week. It showed a loss of about 32,000 jobs in September. The federal government shutdown continuing for the third day.
On Capitol Hill, political leaders continue to blame one another for the ongoing government shutdown. A Washington Post poll shows 47% of Americans blame President Trump and congressional Republicans for the shutdown. 30% blame Democrats, with 23% of Americans unsure. Meanwhile, President Trump and the director of the Office of Management and Budget are looking at firing thousands of federal employees to downsize the government. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Tesla sales have hit a new record. The electric car company sold more than 497,000 vehicles for the third quarter, beating their previous record. One likely reason for that sales boost was buyers rushing to get Teslas before a $7,500 federal tax credit expired on September 30th. 8:38, our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
To the hip, the hip, hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
That's right. It's time for us to talk about the events of the week or whatever comes up. I never know where the raft's going to go. That's why it's kind of fun. Good friend Craig Heinzman. He is the community outreach pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church or something similar.
Yeah, you're right.
To that.
You're close
I always,
enough. I don't
always
care.
Get the name wrong.
I do stuff.
And John Hutchinson, who is just the community outreach guy and guitar player.
And guitar player and fisherman.
And, yeah, and, you know, he does all kinds of things. Serves Salt locally and lots of different stuff. And I love John because he fills in for me sometimes when I go on vacation. So does Craig. John likes doing Friday because he likes hosting the rap.
Yeah.
But it's been a while since I've had him on for the rap. So
he's the reason I can never get Friday. I was like Thursday and stuff.
I didn't know they were in demand.
we can arm wrestle.
Oh, we'll do it.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know where y'all want to start. We got, you know, a couple of things happened this week. The city finally took ownership of Baptist Hospital.
Yeah.
The day you might have thought would never, ever, ever come. And they did it with what you can only describe as the lowest grade participation by the county imaginable. A $500,000 commitment to buy some property that's probably worth $800,000.
Yeah. Right. That they have no plan on what to do with.
Yeah, that they don't. I mean, they kind of know.
Once you clear it.
Has to be some kind of health care.
Health care and a community center. That's what we know.
Right. Yeah.
So,
affordable good.
Housing. I mean, this is a step.
It's a step.
It's better than not having a step, I guess.
It is, and I think it's going in the right direction. Okay, I don't disagree with the city acquiring that.
Mm-hmm.
What I disagree with is you don't have a plan. We should have spent all this time leading up to this, developing a plan. What are you going to do with the property? Would you invest that much money in a piece of property you didn't know what you were going to do with?
Just to create land, basically.
I mean, there is some value in that, but at the same time, I wish there was a concrete plan on what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, the timeline to do it, and let's go. Because government owning land, as we know.
Yeah.
Well, it's a maritime park. I mean, it's a maritime park.
15-year proposition.
Again, you know, there were so many promises with
maritime
park. Yeah, that was going to happen.
Yeah. Commerce Park.
Yeah, the tech park.
Which, by the way, I just want to say, I have not cut the audio for it, but I was listening to the cow from yesterday, the economic development.
Yeah.
And you had Chris Plate, who is the new executive director of Florida West, was in there. He's been there for about 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, honestly, I'm kind of optimistic about some of the stuff that he was talking about and what they're doing with the tech park. Like, why didn't we ever do the site work in order to realize what we could do with that? Why did we? And so they've done that, you know? And,
right, yeah.
I mean,
there was definitely
so
stuff that was
progress.
Not done.
It's maybe not so visible yet, but, you know, yeah. I mean, OLF-8, I asked Wes yesterday what's going on, and he said, look, they've been out there. They're doing their due diligence right now, so we're kind of on the path. We'll see. But, yeah, we have a litany of examples of the government gets the land or promises they're going to do something with the land, and then a lot of that land is just land, you know, 10 or 20 years later.
Yeah. And that's the thing with this. Obviously, you've got to have time and you have to have buy-in for people to understand this is what we're going to do with this property. And I really do think that if you're going to do something in that community's got to have some say-so in what's going on to some degree. What are the resources they need? What are the things that they don't have in that area that are going to be necessary? But, again, my fear, just like John's, is, all right, we've got it. We can do something with it later.
How urgent is it going
to
be?
How urgent
really
is it compared
something?
To something else that comes down? We've got to wait for all this time for the building to be completely demolished. What's the timeline for that? I don't know if
end of the year they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, fast.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think that all that will happen will be, you know, bare land. But if
absolutely
all
not.
We got out of this was bare land, that's a lot better than a rundown hotel in the middle of the city.
It is. I was in New Orleans last week. I was in New Orleans last week, and they have Charity Hospital is still sitting right downtown New Orleans, and it looks like a haunted mansion.
It does.
And then there's also another medical facility north on Canal Street, same way. It's all spray painted up and all that. We don't want that in our community. So this is a good thing. It's just I wish we had more parameters around what exactly we were going to do with
Can
it.
We do a haunted hotel with a grand. That'd be good.
I think I'm going to go on a limb here a little bit and say I think that DC is the kind of guy who is frustrated as of being perceived as the close things down guy, which unfortunately he's had to. I mean, demolish this, close that down. I think in my mind, DC would be eager to have a couple of real high profile wins for his legacy, not just for re-election, but for his legacy if he's actually running, which I think he is. I think that long term, DC would be able to be able to look at this and say, we did the what's the name of the one in Louisiana that they looked at, the Market Gardens, something or other. I think he would love to be able to look at the current Baptist site in 5 years and be like, see? Told you so. So I think the passion to get it done. Honestly, I kind of made the joke one time. I said, maybe it's worth $2 million just to not have the county involved in this. I mean, I have friends in the county. And, yeah, well, you know, sometimes more cooks make worse food. And
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. And opinions are great. Too many opinions are just going to cause problems.
Can you, I mean, think about basically just the city is now going to be in charge of this.
Yeah.
As opposed to, can you imagine the city and the county trying to partner on development? I mean, it's bad enough the city doing, you know, development. It's bad enough the county doing development. Now you're going to try to have both of them working together on development. I mean,
come on. Well, and when government does something, they've got to rub a lot of heads. Everybody's head has to be rubbed. Yeah. Everybody's got to have a say.
That's a great way to say it.
It is. Everybody has to have a say, so you get all these voices in. And I'm not against all those voices, but that makes it a lot more complicated. OLF8's a great example. It started out as an economic development project.
Right.
Now it's ended up with steakhouses and whatever else is going to be out there because everybody's voice had to be heard. And I'm not against that, but it's just when government does it, and when you get two governments involved. Now
they don't like each other, by the way.
They don't like each other.
I am against that. I'm against not every voice needs to get heard. Yeah. I 100% against that because sometimes your voice is stupid, and it just doesn't need to – it doesn't make the sense.
Craig said it. Some voices are stupid.
Hey, guess what? Sometimes my voice is stupid. If you want proof, just ask any of the staff guys. I
believe even that guy in the Bible who the red letters even said some ideas are stupid ideas and called his disciples idiots and called the Pharisees.
He did. He did not mince words sometimes.
He wasn't the touchy-feely, no hurt feelings guy.
No,
so.
He wasn't. But, I mean, you have to understand things have to get done, and sometimes the barrier for things getting done is trying to make sure that what gets done is good for everybody instead of most everybody.
Yeah. It's the make-no-mistakes mindset. Right. It's the same kind
Absolutely
of thing.
Correct.
It's,
Risk
it's,
adverse.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why private development, you know, somebody who's actually got their investment in it and is going to be is going to lose if it loses – you know, they may not make the decisions you like, but they're going to make decisions.
And they're going to make it fast because they have to
get their money out. Carrying costs are high, right?
And I'll say, I think him tearing down the tearing down building stuff, I love it. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of some blight, getting rid of stuff that's causing us. I actually see that as forward progress. Even
a sober assessment of what things cost and what it costs to maintain them. All I honestly feel like a lot of this is, and I don't mean this as a slight against former mayors, but it's a very business mindset.
You know,
financial check boxes, pluses and minuses column, and you know, a sober assessment of what needs to be done. We'll come back to the wrap in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on North W Street in Beverly Parkway, we've got an accident with injuries and roadblocks. Starting to see delays on W Street and Beverly Parkway, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are back flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We got John Hutchinson here with me, and Craig Heinzman are here with me talking about the events of the week. Doge versus Pensacola. I mean, the CFO in his first big thing comes out and completely steps in a falsehood and says that the city of Pensacola built a $600,000 sign. What a waste. With FDOT money. couldn't do this worse.
You could have done the sign, I guess. You could have spent that FDOT money on something else.
No, that was part of the deal was that to restore some kind of a welcome, you know.
The Five Flags Monument.
Right, something there.
And the monument that shall not be named anymore.
Right, exactly.
So is DeSantis on a campaign to never get a vote in Pensacola
again? I don't understand.
I know he's not going to run for re-election, but the stuff he's doing at UWF, at PJC, PSC,
right?
PSC, and now this.
He
couldn't get elected dog catcher in Pensacola, I don't think.
The retaliatory stuff, vetoing projects, including the Veterans Court in Santa Rosa County.
What's happened to our governor?
You know me. I voted for him twice for governor.
I voted for him in the primary
for the president. He's my guy.
I loved him
during COVID. And it just seems like – there's always been areas of his management that I did not think were up to par, including not filling seats. You know, we had too many vacancies. You know, Bender's seat on the board was vacant for too long.
Yep.
Alvin McCorvey's seat on ECU was vacant for too long.
Vacancies
that was a problem.
That was a big issue.
Public records request, honestly, the couple of times I've tried, I don't even think I've gotten them to this day. Like, I don't even bother anymore. It's not even worth doing. So the detail-oriented daily machinery kind of stuff he's not very good at, or at least doesn't seem like. Yeah. Well, now this Doge thing, he's best as I can tell, he sent a bunch of interns around to find high-profile, obvious dirt on big price tag items and then gets it wrong and makes everybody, you know, feel like, oh, you know, they found all this stuff. No, and they haven't even released the report. Like, it's just What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to run for president. I mean, obviously I don't know that. But he must have some end game out there for doing all this, because most governors in their last term don't go around trying to make everybody mad.
Right.
And stomping on people. And that's what he's doing. So I don't know if he's got something else in mind out there.
He's got to think presidency.
He probably is, but I don't mind us taking a look at the city and saying, okay, where are we spending waste? I think we should be doing that. I think the public citizen, we should be doing this too.
We should be doing it.
And I know there's going to be a lot of folks down at the city council meeting next week for the whole Sanger thing, and good on them. That's the way it should be. Go out there on both sides.
Go and
make your voice known. Let's say what our local government should be doing. That's the beauty of local government.
Right.
But to like you said, to walk in and just start trying to cherry pick small things that realistically aren't, I think the way that was framed is that they're subsidizing the drag show that's coming to the 23rd, which is absolutely not correct.
It's actually false.
I say that as someone who is 100% against that show. I mean, there's nothing about that I think is right or profitable for the city, and I think it should go away. But I also understand the First Amendment, whatever rights, blah 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 blah. But it was.
Did you just say the First Amendment was a blah 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 blah?
No, I'm just saying, I get all the arguments on both sides of it. I really do. I think it was a bonehead thing to bring in. I think it's ridiculous to even having to freaking talk about it. But that wasn't the reason that money was there to that management agency. And
does all the events. Right?
And as far as I can tell through the budget reporting is that they've returned money to the city.
Right, the Sanger
the last
benefits,
4 years.
Not costs. Right, that's correct.
But I do think the city should say, hey guys, can you be a little bit smarter about this? A drag show?
That's just stupid.
I have 100% confidence that two things either have happened or will happen. Yeah. Number one, I feel very certain that DC has had a conversation with ASM.
Yeah.
And number two, I think the city council is probably going to create a standard of some kind that will allow them a little bit of content review. And that going forward, we won't have this again. Or not, we won't have anything quite like this again, which is probably good news. Yeah. Pete Hegseth. Gets all the generals together and all the admirals together in one place. And, I mean, the show looked like it was, you know, the rambling whatever that President Trump did. The real issue was Pete Hegseth's speech. There was substance in it. It was meaningful. It was a major event. I, for one, thought it was, I mean, I can quibble, but it was 99% right on target. And that's what I've heard from all my friends in the military. They say the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the fact that they had that event, that you brought all those people together, I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing, just that everybody's on the same page and you talk face to face with them. And I think his speech was amazing. But we were talking about
a little bit of blunt talk. I mean, you know, this is what we're doing.
It's got to be blunt talk.
If you're not in, you can go.
Right. It's the military.
And Andrew shaved his head because of that.
And he did.
I felt like I needed to get in line or I'd
be in trouble. He's got the 0.5 on the sides and the 2 on the top. I can tell right now.
Hey, but I said this earlier. We're in a government shutdown. I want us to have a government shut up. Trump does an hour-long press conference every day and just goes on and on and on and on. And I support all the things he's doing. You know, not all of them, but you know what I mean. I support what he's doing.
It's the things he does, not the things he says.
Yeah.
And on the other side,
you got the Democrats who are, we're all going to die. They're taking away health care. There's Nazis in the street. Just shut up.
Right.
Let's have a month of shut up. Everybody shut up and go to work and let's get things done.
October can be the month of quiet.
And shut up.
And I think language.
Government shut up.
I think that should be a T-shirt. and I think that's the point. When you start looking at how we talk about things and how we talk about each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the danger. Is now we've normalized things like the word Nazi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nazi used to mean something. Like you knew when you called somebody Nazi, it was like a for real thing. Now everyone's a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going, how is everyone a Nazi? Yeah. We have got to learn how to look at somebody and say, I disagree with you on a myriad of issues. Yeah. You still are loved.
Yeah.
Right.
By God and. Because I'm a Christian, and I have to say, because God loves you,
right?
I now must love you too,
right? Yeah. You know, I put up a thing on Facebook yesterday. I was just talking about the role of news, and the gist of it, the short version, is that simply telling the truth is now viewed as bias.
Yes.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And look, you know,
facts
like
are facts.
Like yesterday, okay, DeSantis and Engolia, they were wrong. I mean, they were wrong in several ways.
Correct.
And or misleading in several ways. And I was making a post of it on the news radio site, you know, and I was pretty light in my touch about it. But I was thinking in the back of my mind, you know, people are going to think that I'm engaging in bias because I'm criticizing them for what
right.
they said that was false.
Absolutely right.
That's my job. That's literally the job of news, is to tell you the things that are true and the things that are false. And if I happen to criticize somebody that you like, that doesn't mean you can't go on and like them. But right. at least be willing to acknowledge that you like them in spite of the fact, or along with the recognition that they said this thing that was false.
It doesn't mean I don't like it, like you said.
Or the other side. Somebody who I dislike might say something that's true, valid, and you've got to give, because you've got to be loyal to the truth more than you're loyal to your people.
For 7 years, I loved DeSantis. And I, you know,
right.
But all of a sudden, like you said, he just turned into what this is now.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's very hard to stand behind him now. It's incredibly hard to stand behind him because of what he's doing specifically to Pensacola. Yeah. And you go, I just don't.
And also, I will say this as a conservative, we have always said things like, you know, where are the moderate Muslims pushing back on the radicals?
Right.
You know, where are the good pro-lifers who are criticizing the pro-lifers who believe in violence against clinics? And there were many, many. Okay. But
used to be.
It's got to be the people in the camp that push back against the errors
Correct.
In the camp. Those are the ones who, you know, like Rick Outson, okay? Rick Outson criticizing UWF is going to get nowhere. In fact, that feeds, because he's a liberal, he's a Democrat,
right, yeah,
okay?
He's, yeah.
So all DeSantis is going to do is say, oh, sure, of course, Rick Outson, Democrat.
Right.
Well, but Andrew McKay is a conservative. I'm on your side. I voted for you.
Yeah.
Like, I have at least theoretically some kind of credibility to say, right. my people are wrong on this.
Well, I donated to your campaign. Like,
yeah, right.
Hi.
Yeah, we're the ones. Yeah. Let's see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still dealing with the accident that happened on North W Street and Beverly Parkway. We're seeing some delays at that intersection in all directions, so be aware of that. Other than that, we're good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Which, by the way, just that, like, I thought that the Save UWF people,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were right, mm-hmm. but they were the wrong people saying it.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, it was folks on the left, which of course just feeds the narrative. And so with PSC, when they're clearly, I mean, clearly Zach Smith is trying to push out Ed Meadows.
No question.
No question.
And,
unfortunately.
And unfortunately, and dragging Ruthie into this was I cannot believe that. It's just
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
But like, it's got to be the conservatives who call the governor and be like, bro.
You know,
settle down. Dog.
And I think some in the legislature have tried to do that,
yeah.
but now he's broken his relationship with most of the members of the legislature as well.
Yeah.
This
goes back to January, right? With the attacking them for not doing his bidding on
right.
the not giving him the superficial victory on the immigration stuff. Right.
Correct. That was it.
Continuing to battle with them and call them out and say they're mm-hmm. just a bunch of tax and spenders
right.
or what, you know, like
open carry. I mean, all those issues. He yeah.
Right.
So I don't know who his friends are now.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
it's really, really hard. And what's the thing becomes difficult is you want to speak out against certain things because, like, Ed Meadows is in my Rotary, good friend of mine,
right.
know him well.
Wonderful guy.
Wonderful guy.
Great.
Conservative.
President.
Just trying to do this best and has great grown PSC to something else, Martha Saunders. Yes, do I believe there was some DEI stuff going on at UWF? Sure. Yep. And it didn't get rooted out? Sure. But do I think she had to roll because of that? No. These people were doing good jobs. And sometimes when you have to stand up and say, listen, you're doing it wrong, all of a sudden you become the person attacked by your own party because you are your own side because, like, oh, well, you're not a conservative anymore. Yes, I am. I'm incredibly conservative.
And these are the people that, I mean, literally make the community go round.
Yes.
And if they are run off or
very
discouraged
scary.
From participation.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what happens to our entities and our boards and our jobs. And I mean, literally, these might be people who vote differently from me. Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. But
very rarely.
But
in this
I mean, it does. It really doesn't matter because they're genuinely great people for the
sure.
community.
Yeah.
And if they're not serving, I don't know who's filling those spots.
No, it's not only wrong; it's scary to see that happen.
And that's the worry. On the other side has always said, well, you know, you made your bed, now lie in it. These are the fascists that you grew. No,
this is not what we. And I think the best thing was Pam Bondi coming out and saying hate speech is just not protected speech. And you saw,
and
especially conservative pundits,
yeah.
like crazy going, oh, she's a moron. She's an idiot. We can't do that. That's not true. That's not what we believe. That's not what we're about.
But also not enough of
no.
them. Mm. I mean. Many, but, you know, not enough. I would have liked to see more. Yeah. All right, we only got time for a quick one here, but Taylor Swift's new album, what do you guys think?
Oh,
Who?
I know one.
Craig Heinzman.
Teardrops on my guitar is the only Taylor Swift song I can play.
The community outreach pastor.
I'm telling you, listen. God
bless
Bad
Bunny for the Super Bowl?
That's ridiculous.
Really?
I think so, because the people who are watching the Super Bowl, they don't relate to him at all. Most of them don't even know who he is.
You know, somebody made a funny comment on social media, said, all y'all conservatives upset about Bad Bunny. I thought you were boycotting the NFL to begin with.
I will say this. I think it's a dumb move by the Super Bowl, because you're right. Who's watching the Super Bowl?
Who's going to enjoy that concert?
It should be the people that I grew up with.
You're listening to
because
News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.